So welcome to the closing ceremony for our coming and going retreat and to the Shuso Hosen ceremony for our Shuso. The coming and going retreat that so many of you have been a part of stems from the Buddha's practice of gathering his disciples together during the rainy season when the roads were impassable. And they would come together for 3 months of study and practice. We here in Boundless Way have adapted. We like the idea of three, but 3 months seemed like a little bit more than we could handle, but 3 weeks also more than we could handle. did not that stop us. So this is our sixth time we have gathered in the winter or early spring to practice in this intense way, and a number of us have been here for 3 weeks, and a number of us have come and gone. One of the wonderful innovations that we've brought into this practice is trying to find a way that we can practice with our daily lives. Most of us are lay people, and the idea of taking 3 weeks is can't do it, but maybe we can come some mornings or for a few days. So it's been a wonderful. We've had so many people, such a great turnout. And it takes a lot to keep this going and all the logistics, and Shuso is one of the key people. And Shuso, a loose translation of it, is the one who does everything. So it suddenly comes up and we look on the job description. So, oh, that's the Shusos. So Bob has greeted people. He's kept track of schedules, run meetings, and kept track of the Zendo. And it's been wonderful. And thank you all who have come, and wonderful to be here at the ceremony.
And I also want to welcome you, and I also want you to know who's sitting up here in the front row facing you besides Bob. In case you don't know me, I'm Melissa, and David and Josh. We're three of the four guiding teachers of Boundless Way Zen, and we're also joined by two of our Dharma holders, James Cordova and Diane Fitzgerald. And on my left are the people who come and go. On my right are the people who just have stayed, and we're hoping that we're going to get rid of some of them. This is actually not the final closing ceremony of the coming and going sesshin. After we're all done with this ceremony, and we have cupcakes. And then those of us who are in residence are going to stay, and actually you're welcome to join us and do a round of zazen and do a final chant and then go to bed and wake up tomorrow morning for our last day of the coming and going sesshin, which starts at 6 in the morning. So now that you know this little cast of characters, I just want to say a little bit about Bob the Shuso. This ceremony is called Shuso Hosen Shiki. And Hosen Shiki is a Japanese word that means, loosely translated, Dharma combat. And I heard that he received a gift from two of the cooks, two of the tenzos, from Camden and Jason, a knife.
We're not letting him use it.
Yeah. Keep it tucked away. We don't want any bloodletting here. That happens in other ceremonies. But Bob is a very special person. Any of you who have been here over these 3 weeks or have known him over the years, or some of you have known him since birth. Daniel and David, Bob's sons, are both here. You're going to know what I mean. And of course, Jennifer, his wife, is here. And Bob is one of those people who is the same kind, funny, warm, complicated person in every place he goes. So he is relatable as a husband and father, as the head of a very famous research project out of Harvard, as a psychiatrist and psychotherapist, and also here in Balasui Zen, not only the Shuso for the past 3 weeks, but he's a senior Dharma teacher. And so he, in addition to his Shuso duties, has been doing Doksan, individual meetings, and he's also been giving talks. All of the talks he's given so far, he has prepared for. That is, he finds a text, and we've been studying the Linji Lu, the record of Zen Master Linji, or Rinzai. And so he's given a number of talks where he's looked up references and planned things in his mind and all that sort of thing. But tonight, he is going to get a koan that he doesn't know. He doesn't know what we've picked the teachers and the Dharma holders. Steve, who's the other most important person here, who's also held everything together as the Eno and general dog's body. we all know what the koan is, but you don't. So I'm going to give it to you now while I talk about the ceremony a little bit, so you get to take a few seconds to prepare for it. So what's going to happen is that Bob is going to read us this koan, and then he's going to make some brilliant comments about it that will touch our hearts and hopefully reveal the Dharma. Or at the very least, he'll say something. And then when he's done, I'm going to give him my teaching stick. Symbolically, in this moment, he becomes the teacher for us all. Even though he hasn't received transmission yet, he will function as a transmitted teacher at the Boundless Way for this evening. It's a very big deal, and we're doing it because we all have so much faith in you. So, after that, you guys will have a chance to ask him questions, and it's very ritualized. This is a ceremony that goes back hundreds of years at least, maybe longer. We've certainly adapted it and Boundless Way Zen, and I'll talk more about that after we hear the Dharma talk from Bob. And I think I'll give you the stick now, just to give you a little extra mojo.
When in doubt, rely on the practice. So I'm trying to think about what's coming up for me right now. And what's coming up is this deep longing for Melissa to just keep talking. So I thought the teaching is that when it's time to sit, just sit. When it's time to panic, just panic. And when it's time to give the talk, just give the talk. So, this is case 10 from the Gateless Gate.
Ooh, cupcakes.
A monk said to Cao Shan, "I am Queen Shui, solitary and destitute. Please give me alms." Shui said, "Venerable Shui." Qing Shui said, "Yes, sir." Cao Shan said, "You have already drunk 3 cups of the finest wine in China, and still you say that you have not moistened your lips." So, koans, as many of us know, are these stories that are handed down to us from ancient teachers that are stories about what it means to be human. These are stories from people who have done exactly what we've been doing, which is to investigate our minds and our bodies and all the intricacies of what it means to eat and sleep and walk and panic. And what we find, surprisingly, is that what they tell us about being human 1,200, 1,300 years ago is not so different from being human now. And that these teachings, handed down to us over these centuries, really remind us that when we sit down on a cushion and we investigate this great matter of what human life is, that it's not so different, that it doesn't really change. So one of the ways that we work with koans is to think about who we are in this koan. And of course, I'm everybody in this koan. I'm certainly the monk who says, I'm solitary and destitute. Please give me alms. And of course, in this encounter, he's talking about all of us. All of us in those places where we say, I am really solitary and destitute and I need something. Please. I need something from somewhere, from somebody who's got it to give. And we've been studying all these last 3 weeks the record of Lin Ji, where Lin Ji, this passionate teacher, keeps saying to his monks, don't reach for things outside of yourself. You are complete as you are. Don't go running after things that seem like they're going to make you whole and complete. You are whole. Well, this monk says, I'm not whole, I'm solitary and destitute. My knees hurt. I'm tired. I'm bored. I don't like my job. I don't like the food at Sashimi. So many ways that we can sit and believe that we don't have it and that this is not it. This is not what we want. This is not the situation we can live with. And so we find someone like a master and say, please, you've got it. Give it to me. But the master, Cao Shan, calls this poor, solitary, destitute monk Venerable Shui. Why does he do that? He does that because he sees a light in this poor, destitute monk that the monk can't see for himself. And so, in fact, we come to this practice and we take our minds to teachers who can see the light that we can't yet see in us. And we do this for each other in those moments where we are so destitute. We can look to each other and get reflected back that light, that Buddha nature that we talk about. And Ching Shui, the poor monk, says, yes, sir. He likes being called venerable. And sometimes we do get called venerable in this practice. But then Cao Shan says, you've already drunk 3 cups of the finest wine in China. What? You know, he's feeling terrible. He's feeling like he's desperately in need. And this master says, you've got the finest wine in China. And still you say you haven't moistened your lips. You don't see it. And of course the teaching is always that it's right here. That this fine wine, this magnificent essence that we feel we don't have is right here. It's right in our lives, complete as they are. And I think about how in so many places in the world, that longing that we have, that sense of lack, and the sense that someone else will provide what we lack, that longing is everywhere, and people try to speak to it. People offer us all kinds of schemes and strategies for taking care of that lack. And actually, if you watch television commercials with your Dharma glasses on, you'll see lots and lots of commercials that say, if you get this thing, that will fill the lack. If you get these shoes, if you get this face cream, if you get this car, it'll fill the lack. And of course, shoes are useful. Cars are useful. But the promise held out is that it's going to make you happy, you're going to get along well with your family, you're going to have everything you need from now on if you get these shoes. So that sense of lack, and the people who try to tell us that they can fill it, that's everywhere. And actually, what we've been studying these last 3 weeks is Lin Ji saying to his monks, don't be fooled. Don't be deluded by people who want to tell you that you don't have it, and they do. So what is this finest wine? Well, here we are. Right? Think about this. Think about this. We are together in a gathering that has never happened before. It will never happen just like this again. Think about all the causes and conditions that had to support each of us getting here so that we could all be together. Family, friends, Sangha. How miraculous is that? This is way better than good wine last week. But when we're sitting there and our knees hurt and we're thinking, when is Bob going to finish this talk? this isn't it. It's not the reflection of light on the floor. It's not the flickering of the candle. That can't be it. But what a miracle that we're all here. That we're all alive, and that we all get to do this practice together. So, Cao Shan says, you've already drunk 3 cups of the finest wine in China, and still you say that you have not moistened your lips. The sutra tells us this very place is the lotus land. This very body is the Buddha. Is there anything missing now?
So now we come to the Hosen Shiki part, the Dharma combat part. Just in the spirit of boundlessly Zen, we don't come forward in Dharma combat the way you might sometimes see this traditionally done. We come forth, and I'm going to explain the logistics of it in a second, but I want to give you just the general sense of it. We come forth with a real, honest, personal sense of wanting to know something. And Bob is functioning right now as our teacher. And so when we come forward to ask him a question, and anyone who wants to will be able to do that in a few moments, please don't ask an academic question or a question that is about ideas or any kind of theoretical question, but ask a question that really comes from your heart, and Bob's heart will respond to you. And this is how this is going to work. There's a cushion that I'm dragging right up to where Bob is sitting that says reserved. Reserved for you. And one at a time, whoever would like to, is going to step up behind this this cushion, make a bow to Bob. He'll bow back to you. Sit down and ask your question or make your comment.
Say your name first.
Sure, yeah. So. You could say, my name is, and this is my question, this is what I have to say. Bob will respond. And then when he's done responding, he will say take care. That's the formula. When you hear take care, that's like the ringing of the doorbell. Take care means. That's what I have to say. And then your response should be, whatever you might be feeling, thank you. And then please get up and the next person will come. So, you come in, sit down, say your name, say your question. Bob will answer, take care, thank you, and then the next person will come. So please come forward. This is very important for all of us to hear what you have to say and to see how Bob is doing. And here comes one. Maybe the front row could come forward a little bit just to have an eye off the camera. All right, we can do it.
Hello, my name is Mark, and Bob, you smashed that top out of the park. But I have a question. So you say that, like, you know, I have everything I need, like I'm all set. So what am I doing here?
Well, venerable Mark. We can't see. The mind opens up briefly, and we see that, yeah, I've got what I need, even when I don't have what I want. And then the mind closes up again, and we think, no, it's up there. So I think we come here to keep reminding each other of this amazing truth. Take care.
Thank you.
He said he's been preparing something the whole session.
Oh, my name is Steve. It's been so wonderful being here with you these 3 weeks, Bob. It just has really been special getting to see your warmth and grace and feeling your friendship. And it's really been special. But there's one thing I noticed. I have a question, Bob.
Yes.
And so for 3 weeks now, Master Linji has been telling us that we should have nothing to do. And yet I see you jumping up and down and taking care of Sangha. You've been so busy and so caring. And so what is up with it?
Yeah.
You had nothing to do?
What is up with this? It's the biggest to-do list I've ever had. And you know, and as we've said, there's what happens, what I found, and I think what you're finding, is that there's a quality of doing that isn't separate. The self isn't separate from what we do. That we can't always be in that place, but there are times when we just step forward. When it's time to stand, we stand. When it's time to walk, we walk. When it's time to make the to-do list, we make the to-do list. And there's no separation. And then there are other times when I lose it. We lose it entirely. And it's all about checklists and, oh, I'm so busy. But sometimes we can just move forward, walk up to the altar, bow, light the incense. No thought, just pure nirmanakaya. And it's been a joy being in that place with you. Take care.
My name is Diane, and Bob, you are just an astounding combination of wisdom and compassion and equal measure. And what I probably most admire about you is your humility. So inspiring. And so, but I have a question for you. So, you know, sometimes things happen in life and it feels like the rug's been pulled out from underneath you. And sometimes you don't even notice it until later. And in the Zen world, you could say it's sort of like when your cushions are pulled out from underneath you.
Yeah. Yeah.
What do you do when that happens to you?
I fall. But you know, but when you're raising is this really important point, which is that, you know, from the Sambhogakaya view, everything is wonderful and full and complete. But when, you know, when the rug gets pulled out from under you, when you lose your job, when you lose a loved one, it's awful. It's a horror. And what this practice asks us to do is to keep facing toward that, not to push it away. Nothing left out. Because it's in the pushing away that we add a layer of suffering to what is just real human pain. So I'm really glad you asked this, because it is that pulling the rug out from under us is so real, and it happens to all of us. Eventually, all of us will have the rug pulled out from under us, and we need it. We can with grace, and we need it head on. Take care.
Thank you.
Dragon Ball brother.
Following up on a theme, my name is Mike. And he's a good friend. And it's just good to sit with you and be with you and be here tonight. Sharing this with you and with everybody here. I'm very grateful for our sharing in this unspeakable journey. So my question is, this koan, like so many stories and ways of talking, and this notion that there's, you know, this delusion in a way, right, that says I'm solitary, I'm desolate, that's so powerful, and that we all feel from time to time, and there's also, we've all experienced that at some point, that sense of openness, that where we don't feel solitary at all, we see how we're interwoven so deeply. And these are such interesting, like, seemingly opposing mind states. Yeah. And even as I hear you talking, you say, you know, there's the, you know, we come here to remember. We get lost, but we come here to remember. And I guess I'm wondering, in that, there's a profound sense of, for the person who really is in that desolate place, right, it can be such a profound sense of lack, and it's so profoundly itself, and for that person, hearing, but there's an openness, hurts even more. So I'm wondering, what do you offer that person?
You offer that person being with the suffering, hearing the cries of the world. You know, we talk about Avalokiteshvara, and that the hearing of the cries of the world is sometimes all we do. and can be enough. But besides hearing the cries, we offer Sangha. And we offer this container of practice so that even when you're in hell, when you can, you put one foot in front of the other in the Kinhin one, and you sit down when the bell rings. And you continue to practice with Sangha, and hell changes. Sometimes it may just get worse, but it certainly doesn't stay the same. All we can offer is that presence and reminder. Take care.
Hi, Bob. My name is Aaron. This koan, such a lovely koan. My take on that is his name Venerable Shuang?
Venerable Shuang. I think it's Venerable Shuang.
Yeah. So, for me, I don't know if I'm identifying with him or just really in awe. Because for me, it's very difficult to ask for help. Maybe that's why he's venerable,
Yeah. I mean, it's just showing up, saying, I'm destitute. Yeah. You know, right, because so often we just close up, we don't ask, we don't come forward. And so showing up, you know, asking the question, saying I need help, and that's to be venerated. It's so hard to do sometimes. Thank you for showing up. Take care.
Jason, come on.
My name is Bo. Not been here before. And I couldn't be anywhere else. Mm-hmm. And it brings me back to my journey, and it makes me want to ask about your journey. Because it was Roger who brought me to James and started me on the path. And when I came, you were already there. And so it makes me ask, how did you start on this path?
Causes and conditions. Okay, this is not going to be a deep Dharma answer. I'm going to tell you because I think it's miraculous. David Waldinger, who you have met, our children were in plays together. David's friend was having a coming of age ceremony at a church where James Ford happened to be the minister. And David's friend's mother knew that I was interested in meditation but had been a complete flop. And she pointed to the man conducting the ceremony and said, he's a Zen master, you know. Causes it. I Googled him. I went to see him. The rest is history. How does this happen? How did we get here? Right? I mean, you know, I think channeling Roshi David Reinick, he would say that the universe meets us where we need to be met. And somehow, we got met. Thank you so much for coming, both. Take care.
My name is Jason. Thank you, Bob, for everything you've done. This sesshin, it's been wonderful, and I was just sitting over there wondering what it would have been like without your presence here, and it just felt cooler. But it's been really wonderful. 3 weeks, you know, every morning, you know, you would ring the bell, and that was the only time of the day I didn't like you walking out. Come on, and you would have made the coffee, and I'd sip on it and say, thank God for Bob. But my question is, you said that sometimes you sort of feel things flow, for lack of a better term, and then sometimes you lose it and, you know, you fall. Are you hoping to improve?
Am I hoping? Yes. Is it going to happen? No. And you know, and really, I mean, because, right, don't we bring, of course we bring these hopes, right? Of course we do. And we keep being reminded that there's nothing to attain. And, you know, at the same time, there are these moments of just being totally absorbed in what I'm doing that are so exhilarating that I've now come to notice more. I mean, I think before this practice, I wasn't able to appreciate the difference between that spaciousness of just being in it and that kind of obsessive busyness of having way too much to do. And so, if anything, it's not that I'm going to improve, but I may be able to see that I'm tasting some of the fine wine when I actually am able to taste it. And thank you for the knife.
I'm Alan. So, Bob, first I want to say I'm disappointed that the teachers gave you a safe word.
A safe word.
Oh,
take care.
Fifty Shades of Zen
context. There is a kind of aspect.
So when I came in from outside, I think I was the last to come in, and the Buddha looked so cold. And here you are, having drunk the 3 glasses of the finest wine in China, and the one who does everything. So, to help the Buddha warm up, can you make the Buddha dance?
Oh,
Thank you.
My name is Cindy. It's been incredible to be here for a week and somehow to be called out from the stuck, not quite showing up. Any way to move from that contracted place maybe a little sooner than a year after, you know?
Yeah. No. Okay, you're sitting there in Zazen, right? And you realize that your mind is just gone off and you've been gone for, you know, and then you come back. Is there any way to make yourself come back to presence sooner?
Not that I've found. But there is that grace that happens.
Yes, there is that grace that happens, and we don't get to decide when it happens. You know, Melissa likes to talk about these states as self-releasing. They do release us eventually. We just don't get to choose one. I'm so glad you were here when it happened. Take care. Maybe one or two more?
Yeah. Be brave, come forward. Go ahead.
You're such a great Dharma brother. Yeah. No, and I thought I had a question. But as I was sitting there, I was listening to the talk, and I was listening to your answers, and you already gave me.
Wells up in me because I am feeling like Venerable Shwen.
Yes.
And in his speaking, you know, just that's just another way of saying I'm saying. You know, I was wondering, you know, I'm in pain now, and I think I see the pain in the future, and I think it will kill me.
Mm-hmm.
And my question that came up was, and so, how practice help me? The pain is killing me.
Yeah.
And yet, you already answered. Mm-hmm. Because what you said was that being alone and destitute, or being in pain, is not benevolent, is not sacred.
Mm-hmm.
And the cups of the spirit.
And thank you for that beautiful Dharma talk. Take care.
Thank you.
My name is Paul. It's also Soshin. My teachers, in their infinite wisdom, or hot poker, called me Soshin, this monk heart. I have a great fondness for being here in Sangha with my Dharma brother. I haven't been able to be here physically. Not here. And so my question is, and this is a question that I've been living into for these last 3 weeks, maybe more, as I long to be here, as quite frankly envied you and everyone here who could be here. This aspect of showing up, this aspect of how to not be separate when not here. You know, isn't this the common thing for me?
Well, and you know, it's such luck, and more than luck, I mean, that sometimes the world supports us in being here for 3 weeks, and sometimes the world supports us being at work and being at home. And you know, the person who supported me being here for 3 weeks is sitting right behind me.
Yeah. And there's a reason why.
But that says, you know, but what you bring in, you know, what you bring to your work and the world and your family is this spirit of this longing for Sangha, for presence, for being in touch with the aliveness that we're all talking about. And that's here, work, home, in that sense, no matter. And it really matters. And so my wish for you is that you get to do this at some point, because you would be absolutely wonderful and are wonderful, but you've been spreading your light elsewhere. Take care.
So I think you've got to give time to young Walden.
No, I don't think so. Is there a boundary?
Hi, my name is David. Nice to meet you. First I want to say how much you've meant to me these past 24 hours while I've been here meditating. And just a few nights ago, someone in this room told me that I really won the parental lottery. And you know who's right in front of me and who's right behind me. I think we can all see how true that is. But I wanted to ask a question. You already had one about your path and how it started. And that resonated with me a lot. I'm kind of just starting my own, in a way. I'm only really a few months into it. So I wondered if you had any words of wisdom or insight that you wish someone further along in their path had given you when you were just starting out.
Yeah, keep showing up. You know, just keep... that through the doubts, and there are huge doubts in this. It's like, what are we doing here? And every time I come to Sesshin, I drive here from Boston to Worcester thinking, what am I doing here? And so my advice would be, treasure those doubts, enjoy them, and keep showing up. And I won the kid lottery. Venerable Bob.
Venerable Josh.
Well done, Shizu. Well done. So, Venerable Bob has shared with all of us so many cups of the finest wine. And steeped in luck. steeped in luck. So we'll do one closing chant, and then we invite you to share in some of the finest cupcakes in all of
us. So actually, before we chant, I have a small announcement to make here. That our beloved senior Dharma teacher, Reverend Robert Ryudo Tetsumu Waldinger, M.D., has now completed the ceremony of Shuso Hosen Shiki.
And congratulations will be very much in order.